You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
If you will turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, we'll start there. And it's very short on Wednesday night, so I won't have much of an introduction the beginning. And so we'll just read this scripture. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, the word fear isn't there, but it's talking about, hey, don't be shaken in mind or troubled in your spirit, in word, in something that maybe you've been given a letter that claims to be from me and it's worried you. Don't be worried. So what Paul is saying to the people at Thessalonica is don't be in fear. And he said, and he tried to calm them down. Well, fear is something that's very interesting because, and it's everywhere through the Bible. A while back, I heard that there are 365 places in the Bible that say, fear not. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. But when I listen to preaching, I don't take everything for granted. I don't take everything that a preacher says at face value. I do like the Bereans. I go to the Bible. And so I did. I thought, oh, that's a challenge for me. I want to find all 365 of those places. And let me tell you, there are less than 100 fear nots in the Bible. But there is a whole lot about fear. If you look through your concordance just with the word fear, you're going to find 385 occasions. Just the word fear, not for something like 2 Thessalonians 2 that talks about fear but doesn't use the word fear, but the context is about fear. There's a lot more about fear. So I started a long time ago working on that, and because every year, I read through the Bible and I study the Bible looking for something in particular every day. And what is it for this year? Fear. So when Pastor asked me to teach, I said, you know, I'm almost finished with that list. So I finished it this afternoon and prepared this outline and this lesson. You'll notice there's a totally different format here. That is due to the fact that, I'm an individual person. I'm a different person. And so I adapted the outline format that I use in my Sunday school class. So that will explain why there's a little difference there. But we're going to talk about fear. And it's such an interesting topic. And as I found, there is a lot in the Bible about fear. About what to fear, what not to fear. Of course, fear not is a great concept, and it's a major concept. But you know, what to fear, I found a lot more in the Bible about what we should fear and who we should fear. That's not going to be any big surprise, but let's pray before we get into this. Heavenly Father, I do ask you for your help and guidance and wisdom, and help me, Lord, to present what will be a blessing, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you'll look in the outline there, you'll notice on the cover, on the front page, and like I said, this is a format that I use, and would you believe? Oh, yeah, I do have one. All right, so on the, no, I don't. I didn't even bring the front page with me. But anyway, you'll notice there that there are some captions at the top that I stuck in there. And one of them, I'll go to the back with that detail. But if you'll look at the at the back first. We'll go ahead and start there. Oh, here it is. Never mind. So it says, fear to whom fear. That's the front cover on the outside. And, of course, we should fear God. Like I said, that's no surprise to anyone. And and God does not give us a spirit of fear, the Bible says. Paul's letter to Timothy said, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's something opposite to fear. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That in itself is a scripture that if we believe the Bible, that should be all it would take us to know how important it is to fear God. But what does it mean to fear God? Well, God didn't leave us to be ignorant about what he meant when he said, fear me. And so that's a big part of what we're going to look at tonight. Now, on the back, if you'll just flip over to the back, and we haven't even gotten to the outline yet, but flip over to the back, perfecting holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we're going to perfect holiness by understanding and practicing the fear of God. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But that's not all there is to fear, just fearing God's judgment. The Bible says so much about fear that has nothing to do with just God's judgment. But you'll be surprised to know that there is a correlation between fearing someone and loving them and appreciating that they love you. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now that's a very interesting phrase because it's found three times in the Bible, fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, I mean, it certainly sounds like fear is just being in terror and just trembling in the sense of, I'm so afraid of God that I'm just, I'm just weakened and I'm like Daniel, if you read about when he was in the presence of God, he had no strength. He fell down. He couldn't even stand up. And that's not an unusual reaction. People who are in the presence of angels in the Bible, we see they're almost always, if not every single time, they're in fear. It's an awesome thing to see a spiritual being that we're not used to seeing. So there's certainly also a fear not. There are many things that we should avoid and learn not to fear. But if we fear God, we don't have to fear anything else. If we have the right kind of fear of God, we're going to see in many of these scriptures that settles the fear of anything and everything else. But look at these three passages with me, and we'll get into the outline. 2 Corinthians 7:15 says this, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. And this is written to the Corinthian church about Titus. And an interesting story, but we certainly don't have time to go into any of the stories. But Ephesians 6:5 says this, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So we should have respect to one another if we're in a relationship of employer-employee. And that relationship should be patterned after our relationship with Christ. So in other words, if you're an employee, you should respect your employer like you should respect Christ, because they're God's ordained authority over you. And these are practical lessons. These are practical things that if we practice them in our lives, we have God's promise that He's going to make sure things go well for us. Philippians 2:12 is the third, and that's this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we should, now, and this was explained to me by my pastor many years ago. If you sit down to do a math problem, how do we describe doing a math problem? We work it out, don't we? We work out a math problem. This is what that scripture is talking about, working out our salvation, not working for our salvation. Big difference there. But working out our salvation, living our salvation experience to be a testimony to other people. All right, now on the inside, to serve God acceptably. We find this in Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we serve God acceptably if we have godly fear. So the fear of God is not the same as godly fear. Godly fear is the type of fear we have toward God. And remember, I said, if you fear God the right way, with godly fear, you don't have to fear anything else. Leave that in God's hands. Let God fear everything else. He doesn't mind that. And so let's start at the beginning. There are different species of fear. I'm a science teacher. I just like to use that word there. I heard someone else use something similar to that recently. Different types of fear. And I was just thinking, as studying all the passages in the Bible about fear, fear can have a lot of different meanings and a lot of different applications and a lot of different ways that it affects us. There are different degrees of fear, right? Fear is an emotion, but that's not really all there is to fear. It's kind of like love. Love is far more than just an emotion that we feel, right? Plus, it's similar to love in the sense that we have a choice. We choose what we fear. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Brother Weldon, there are some things I'm afraid of and I can't control it. I just have this phobia, or sometimes I'm startled, and you know, there are fears in life, certainly, and that's going to be included here too in just a moment. But for the significant fears, such as, if we break it down, there's the fear of God and the fear of man, right? To get it to its elemental form, we either fear God and we don't fear man, or whenever we're fearing man, we are not fearing God at the same time, right? It's like Heisenberg's uncertainty theory. There we go again. I'm a scientist, so you have to look that one up maybe. So there are different species of fear. And we read, I'm pretty sure we just read that Jude 12:23, right? So look at A there, godly fear. I mentioned that a moment ago, godly fear. Fear. Hebrews 12:28. I guess I better turn there because I didn't get it. I thought I printed it on my sheet, but I didn't. I don't have it. So Hebrews 12:28, and most of them I'll be able to read and we'll go more quickly through them. Hebrews is just before James, right? Okay, 12 is the last chapter, and 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We read that a minute ago. It was on the other page. That's why I didn't reprint it here, I guess. So, all right, so we know about that principle of serving God with godly fear, and that's acceptable. And I hope we have a desire to be acceptable to God, right? So, so fear God, 1 Peter, that should have been 2:17 there, little, that was the only mistake I could find so far, so that's pretty good. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That puts fear in a perspective of general who all we should fear, and really that's talking about honor, right? Honor and respect. See there is mocking at our fear. Mocking at our fear. Proverbs 1, 26 and 27. God is speaking and he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as destruction, as your your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. So if we don't learn to fear God when our fear cometh, and fear will come to all of us, right? We said already, fear is inevitable. We're all going to have times of fear, and we're going to be tempted to fear other things and not God. But we do have a choice. We can learn to practice fearing God and turning our fears over to him when we have them and not giving in to them, because he doesn't want us to. He wants to take our fears from us. So he will have a time where our fear comes and he will mock those who are rebellious against him. They will not be glad because that fear is coming. Roman numeral 2. There are times to fear. You know, with different kinds of fear, there's also fear that we should have, fear that we shouldn't have, and there are times that we should fear and times that we should turn those fears over to the Lord. If we lived a life with no fear, we didn't fear anything, we probably wouldn't even live very long, right? Fear is a healthy thing at times. We better fear some things. I see people, I'm driving down the road sometimes, and people just walk across the street, and they're not even paying attention. It's like, don't you have any fear of an automobile? And, you know, sometimes you probably had it too. You have to slam on the brakes because these people, they have no fear. So it's dumb not to have any fear, but it's also not very wise to fear the wrong things and not to fear God. So there are times to fear. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If we search, we can find knowledge, and it's not very far away from fearing God. So A, God is our banner. That's the word you want to put in that little blank there. And I hope you have a thin point pen, because I know it's kind of small. But banner, Psalm 64, 60 and verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. So God is our banner. You know, there's a name for God, Roi, that means God is our... No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. I forgot which one it was, but there is one name for God that means he is our banner. And the idea is the sense that if you go into battle, it's very common that there is an ensign of some kind, a flag or a banner that would indicate where your unit is fighting and whether you're attacking or retreating and where you need to regroup And that's God's description in one of his names, that he is our banner. And he says, and a banner is something that's held up high that people can see. And that describes us as Christians. We should be a banner for God. And this says that our proper fear of God is that banner, that we can be a testimony to the lost. B, it's wisdom to fear. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. C, for our children's sake, for our children's sake. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God wants to bless us, but he requires our fear, our respect, our acknowledgement that he is in charge, that he is all-powerful, that it's his will that's important, not our own. And that brings us to Roman numeral 3. There are times when fear is optional. Certainly there are times when fear is inevitable. We'll come to that in a moment. But there are times when fear is optional, and the basic things that we fear in life, we get to choose. And if we don't, we're going to have problems. We're going to have emotional problems, psychological problems. We're going to have relationship problems with other people. But if we fear God properly, and we understand, and we have wisdom that comes from that, and the first point there, A, is it's God's will for us to fear him. Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of God all the day long. And Isaiah 41:14, fear not thou, worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I think when I read that, I thought, wow, that's kind of comical. God talking to Jacob as a people, but he calls him a worm. He says, yeah, you worm, don't fear. Don't worry. You don't have to. If you're fearing me, you don't have to fear what's going on around you. You don't have to fear other people, your enemies. Don't worry about all that. Fear me. Or you're like a worm. We are commanded to fear, but not coerced. Ecclesiastes 5:7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. That's the solution to all the temptations that we have around us. See, we're commanded not to fear. Some things we're not to fear. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the disciples, here's an example from the Bible. They're out on the Sea of Galilee, and there's a big storm. They see Jesus coming. He's walking on the sea, and what is their response? They were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. How often do we misinterpret what God's trying to do in our lives? And we fear what's going on rather than fearing God and loving him and trusting him. And then recognizing when he's coming to us. And we're afraid of what he's doing. Don't be afraid of what God's doing. Whatever it is, it's good. It's going to work together for good. Roman numeral 4, there are those to fear. There are people and, there are situations. Oh, yeah, the disciples feared the unknown. A heritage of fear is what I want you to see here from Psalm 61:5. A heritage of fear. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. B, fear is a part of respect and character. Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear thou the Lord, the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Get your fear in the right place, and you will be taken care of. Roman numeral 5, there are times not to fear. Matthew 10:26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Sometimes we're so afraid because we see that things aren't right, and we want to try to make them right instead of waiting on God. Let God make them right in His time, in His way. Because sometimes things aren't right, and we may even be partly responsible, but other people are responsible, and God is not going to force people to do the right thing. But if we're on His side and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, give Him time. He will make things work out. We are not to fear God's will. Jeremiah 30:10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, shall be in rest, shall be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. God will settle your fears if you'll just let Him, if you'll just cooperate with Him. All right, in any circumstance, no matter what's going on, God's there with you. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 118:6. I will fear, yea, the... I guess I didn't get that one on there either, so we'll skip that. You look that one up. That's homework assignment. Our God is greater than our enemy. God's greater than our enemy. Psalm 64:1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And God will do it. There are many other scriptures I could have added or chosen for that. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. Jesus Himself said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. Six, there are those not to fear. People that we are tempted to fear or want to intimidate us and cause us to fear them. We shouldn't fear everybody that we're tempted to fear. And there are those who show us an example that they refuse to fear God. And they don't fear what they're supposed to fear, but we shouldn't be like them. So the fear of man is A, the fear of man, Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The Pharisees feared the people. The Pharisees feared the people, and they made no bones about it. Jesus, they were trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus asked them the right question that because they feared the people, it didn't go very well for them. All right, Pharaoh's servants in Exodus 9, they refused to fear God, and therefore, now some of them did. It was like a divided camp, that some of Pharaoh's servants feared God and behaved right, but others didn't, and that's an example for us. And the last point there, there are times when fear is inevitable. As we said, 2 Thessalonians 2:2. We started the lesson out with that. Fear in the night from Song of Solomon. You'll notice there are scriptures in the lesson tonight from all over the Bible. Because it's a universal theme, the fear. What to fear, what not to fear, fear of God. Fear in the night. Interesting verse there, verse 8, Song of Solomon. They all hold swords. being expert in war, every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. There was a king there, and he needed to be protected, and so the soldiers around him had their spear and their hand on their spear ready all through the night because of the danger that was there. And so a lesson in vigilance, and a lesson that we can sleep peacefully at night because God is protecting us, or he has angels with their hand on the sword all around us, and we have no reason to worry about what's going on. And the shepherds in Luke 2, at the birth of Christ, they were sore afraid. It's always been an interesting expression to me, the sore afraid. And fear can greatly oppress us. And there's three different passages from Psalm. So let's conclude. If we understand Scripture and we have a relationship with God who preserved Scripture for us, we can easily see by studying that word, because there's so many passages about fear, and we realize from that study that he wants to give us peace, and he does not want us to be a victim of fear. We don't need to fear the people, our enemies, or circumstances. And we do have the duty to understand what fear really is. It's a natural part of our life. It's going to come, but it should not defeat us and destroy us. We have the resource from God himself to overcome any pain, any discouragement that fear would tend to cause in our lives. And that last paragraph, I took this lesson from Pastor. There's one blank right at the end, and you can probably guess it. The ironic thing, it's ironic, about fear is that the fear of God is the answer for the fear that would trouble us. It was Winston Churchill in World War II who said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And that's not scripture, but as somebody said, it ought to be. No, I'm kidding. I don't agree with that one. But the answer is not to be defeated by fear. And the answer is fear. The fear of God.